with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. And you can always join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I know people have strong, not everyone, but some people have very strong feelings about our next topic. You'll remember that a couple years ago, we made national news with how a wolf hunt was handled. And we are now in the throes of trying to update the wolf management plan. And so here to talk more about that is Randy Johnson, who is the large carnivore specialist with Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And he focuses on statewide wildlife management surrounding black bears, wolves, and the occasional cougar. How occasional are we talking?
A handful a year.
Are cougars like solitary animals? Do they not go in packs? So you kind of just see them when they're roaming by themselves?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. They're a solitary animal. We don't have a breeding population, but what we see here in Wisconsin is individual transients that are coming from the Dakotas, Nebraska, our closest other populations. And so they're trekking out looking for their own territory, and a few make it all the way to Wisconsin.
Wow. Well, you know, they're really, really ambitious. All right. So as someone who's not a large carnivore specialist, what is kind of the history of wolves in Wisconsin? Have they always been native to here? Has there been ebbs and flows of how they migrate? Because obviously what happened a couple years ago was terrible. And we're back in this place of like, what do we do with them? And I understand that there's both the ecosystem that they fulfill, and there's also the threat that they pose to farms and livestock and everything. And so kind of what is the historical nature of wolves in Wisconsin?
Sure. Yeah. And thanks again for having me. Appreciate it. It's kind of a long and at times very controversial and pretty nuanced backstory with wolves in Wisconsin and really everywhere across the country. We're speaking about the historical background of wolves in the state. They are a native species. They would have been here, you know, thousands of years ago. And they were here, you know, all across the state, really all across the lower 48 states, up until about the 1800s, the early 1900s. At that time, when the European colonization and settlement was taking place all across the country, those settlers' attitudes toward wolves and other carnivore species, like mountain lions, for example, were not good. They did not like them around. They saw them as competition, feared them, et cetera. And so we saw, you know, government-sponsored bounty programs, poisoning campaigns. It was a very concentrated effort to get rid of these animals. And it was pretty darn successful. By the early 1900s, most wolves in the state had been eliminated.
Wow.
The same thing played out in our neighboring states until about the 1950s, the 1960s. Really, in the lower 48 states, the only wolf population that remained was in northern Minnesota. Wolves were gone from Wisconsin.
Mm.
And once we get to the 60s, the 70s, attitudes start to change. People start to appreciate these animals. They start to understand them a little bit better. And importantly, legal protections. The bounties went away. The poisoning went away. And the Endangered Species Act, Keystone legislation, the early 70s. And that sets the stage for where we're at today. Through the 80s, through the 90s, these populations came back on their own, naturally. Again, very similar to what we're seeing with cougars, where you have these individuals that trek out and they start to look for habitats and territories. And when wolves did that, they came out of Minnesota into Wisconsin and they found prey, open habitat, and they found each other. And they started to establish packs. And through the 80s, through the 90s, into the 2000s, we went from, you know, basically zero wolves to a few dozen to a few hundred. Up until today, where we see about 1,000 wolves in the state, and most of the suitable habitat for them today seems to be pretty occupied with wolves. So we've kind of come full circle with wolves in the state.
And so while they were almost eliminated and before their kind of resurgence and coming back and establishing packs, what changes did that make in the food change and to like the ecosystem of like, was that damaging to the larger environment by not having them here?
Yeah, it's a good question. And frankly, a lot of that, I think we're still unraveling, both here in the state, but really all across Wolf Range. You know, as these carnivores start to come back into these systems, you start to see changes. You know, you're introducing a top-level predator. In Wisconsin, their primary prey is white-tailed deer. That's what they like to eat the most. There's other critters on the menu, like snowshoe hare, for example, beaver, and they can actually be quite flexible in their diet, but they can eat a number of different things. But, you know, as they're being wolves, right, just going about their daily life, doing their thing, they influence the environment around them in a lot of different ways, both directly through killing some of these animals and consuming them, but also indirectly through changing their behaviors, changing where they're at in the landscape. Like deer, especially, you know, they react to the presence of a wolf by changing their behavior. Maybe they move more at night, or they stay out in the open, or they feed in certain areas less. And a deer is a great example. It changes the browsing pressure, right? And so by deer moving where they're browsing, feeding, you can start to see changes in the vegetation. And generally speaking, you start to see increased plant diversity, and that translates directly into increased biodiversity. With rare species of plants, more species of plants, you get different insects, et cetera, et cetera. And you start to see these almost chain reactions all throughout the landscape, many of which are pretty subtle and take some time. But, you know, we continue to study those types of things and continue to unravel all the different the impacts.
So fast forward to today, and obviously I don't have the numbers off at the top of my head, but 2 years ago, from what I remember, it was chaotic, maybe is the right word, as far as what was leading up to the wolf hunt that led to the wolf hunt killing like 80% more than what the threshold was supposed to be or something like that. Can you give more details of what happened that we're trying to not repeat?
Yeah. Long story short, that was wolves were delisted from the Federal Endangered Species Act, and the department was court ordered to implement a season. And that comes back to current state law, which basically directs us to have a wolf season in Wisconsin whenever they're not federally listed. So that season went off. It was very unusual, I would say, in the way that it came about. Certainly not something that the department wanted to see take place in the way that it played out. But it really brought attention to that issue, more attention to that issue. And so that's one, you know, certainly one part of the management plan that we're updating. You know, there's several pieces in there that directly try to address some of those concerns that we saw from that season, among a lot of other things. The other thing I think that's important to realize, too, is even following that season, you know, the department continues to monitor the wolf population. And based on, you know, surveyed results from the year following that season, we still see a healthy wolf population in the state. It did decline a little bit from, you know, prior to that hunt, which was expected given the nature of it. But nonetheless, we still see wolves largely occupying most of that habitat that's, you know, good quality habitat for them. We still see some 250 packs of wolves in the state. And so, you know, that's another thing we've learned along the way, is that wolf populations are pretty resilient to disturbances like harvest or other sources of mortality.
We're talking to Randy Johnson, who is the large carnivore specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, about wolves. And so it's a public comment, like it just got extended so that people can still put in their public comment for updating the wolf management plan. So what is kind of the bullet point of the arguments for limiting how many wolves can be hunted versus the arguments for being more aggressive?
Yeah, it in a word, it all comes down to trying to find some balance, right? We kind of discussed a lot of the ecological value that wolves have. We've done social science work that indicates the majority of Wisconsin residents have a cultural appreciation for wolves. They're an important part of our state's history, our culture, and so there's a lot of value from that perspective as well. The flip side, of course, is there can be some conflict with wolves. They are a large carnivore. Not only can they obviously take down wild prey, but they can take down cattle, they can kill pets, they can kill, you name it. We don't really see impacts to, you know, human safety concerns, if you will. But nevertheless, that's still a legitimate concern that people have. And so it's really important to understand that those threats, that conflict is real. It is impactful for those that it occurs to. And yet it's, in many cases, manageable. We have the tools in place to really try to address a lot of these things. And so this plan is really focused on trying to find a balance between those two things. We want to support a healthy wolf population in this state, sustainable, long-term, but also put a lot of attention on addressing and reducing conflict where it occurs, again, to try to find that balance.
And so with the wolf population, are we talking mostly like Northwest, or is it all of the North, or like where is, like, if you want to see a wolf, where's the most likely place that you're going to be able to see one?
Yeah, Northwest is probably the best place to try to go see one. The Northwest part of the state has probably the highest density of wolves. The wolf range in the state is pretty extensive. It's really all across the forested parts of the northern, northern part of the state, as well as down into the central forest, probably some a third to maybe half of the state, not obviously in every spot, but locally.
Not Milwaukee.
No, but we do actually, believe it or not, we have individual wolves that pop up all over the state from time to time. Again, it's this same pattern of healthy wolf population, young animals trek out on their own, they disperse. And when they take off, they can show up just about anywhere. Now, they're typically transient. They keep moving along. But we have wolf observations pop up all across the state, really every year.
Randy, I assume you do a lot of work in the field, and you must over the years have seen some really amazing things. Just, I think, to see a wolf pack moving as a pack, or seeing a cougar, or, a bear and cubs, and it's just got to be thrilling and also a little frightening.
Yeah, I don't do as much field work as I'd like to. But nevertheless, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a big part of the job and why folks get into this field. And it's also, again, it comes back to, we know that the general public really appreciates those opportunities to see a bear. I was just talking with a lady yesterday, actually, that spoke about seeing a bear and two cubs, run across the road, and how meaningful that was and how impactful that was. And I think the same can be said for wolves in the state. And so we recognize that, we appreciate that, and also recognize we need to try to find this balance, because there are some real impacts out there too. And that's what the plan strives to do.
So quickly, just for survival tips, if someone were to see a large carnivore, what are the actual things that you're supposed to do? Because I feel like the thing that the urban legend is, with a bear, you pretend that you're dead. Or so, like, the animals you focus on, what should you do if you were to come across any of these in the wild as a human?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, first things first, I think just pause and recognize that most of the time these animals want nothing to do with you. Pause. The best tool you have is the thing between your ears. And so slow down, pause. If it's a bear, often you just don't care, or a wolf for that matter, you just kind of want to back out of the situation. You don't want to surprise them. You don't want to startle them. Oftentimes it's just that simple. Make sure they have a way out. Make sure you can back up. And 99% of the time they're going to resolve themselves if you just calm down and kind of back out of the situation.
All right. Good to know. Disengage.
I still think I'm going to play dead.
You don't care.
I'm curling into a ball, and I'm just going to cross my fingers and say goodbye.
All right. Well, Randy Johnson is the large carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Thank you so much for updating us. We will link all of the information you sent us as far as where people can provide their public comment, learn more about the situation. And what is the timeline? It's for the end of the month?
End of February.
End of February.
Folks have until the end of February to log on to the website. You said you've got the link. So log on to the website, review the plan, share your thoughts. It's important that we hear from folks on this plan.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.